Blog Talk Radio. To make things better for the women of the table of life. But we are a ministry for life, for hope in the future. And I'm thanking God for all of you and thanking God for this new day. So amen, amen. As always, we have just started adding in to our show. At the end, we have another prayer that God has given me an absolutely awesome 5 days of prayer for life. Hallelujah. And so this 365 prayer book also goes with our 365 lesson. And this morning we are coming out of Numbers 27 through 28:31. Psalm 34 verses 8 to 14. Proverbs 11:29. And Mark chapter 14 verses 1 through 26. And again, we have learned so much in this word. We have gotten through. So I am so thankful for God's word. Mark chapter, 14 is awesome. And our word this morning, we're going to talk about the girls. Because, on Sunday, the women's ministry, we talked about certain women in the Bible. And, we got to make sure that we let the ladies out. Because so many women in the Bible are unknown women, that we as women of God need to start going and checking them out. You need to find out about Deborah, also a fantastic, also mighty prophetess and judge. Miriam, Moses' sister, read more about her. As, we go through the word of God today we're going to talk about the daughters of Zelophehad. These girls was like, hey, wait a minute, hold on. We don't have any brothers. It's just us girls. Our father didn't have any sons, but we want our inheritance too. Sometimes because inheritance went to the first sons and all the sons of these men. These girls were like, wait, hold on, wait a minute. We get ours too. You're not going to look over us because we're women. So let's read and talk about what these young women did. This said that then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Asa, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh and the son of Joseph. And these were the names of the daughters: Mila, Noah, Hagla, Naka, Tarda. And they stood before Moses, before Eleazar, the priest, and before the leaders and all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle meeting, saying, our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in the company with Korah. But he died in his own sin, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among your families? Because he had no son. Give us a portion among our father's brothers. So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the daughters of Zelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers. And cause the inheritance of their father to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies and has no son, then you shall cause his inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughter, then you shall give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father has no brothers, then you shall give his inheritance to the relative closest to him in his family, and he shall possess it. And it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abram and see that land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you shall also be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. But in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hollow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And I'll put 10 right there. Well, remember, and God's going to say this, God told Moses, speak to the rock, and water's going to come out of it. But Moses looked around and just thought about these rebellious, stiff-necked, always complaining, getting on my last nerve, always got something negative to say, always doing something they ain't got no business doing. If I say go left, they complain because they want to go right. If I say pick up the manna from heaven, only Sunday through Friday, then they want to go out on the Sabbath. Every told them not to do. That's what they want to do. I'm sick and tired of hearing they whining and complaining. Bam! He gets the rock with his rock. Hits it. Water comes gushing out. But what did God say? God said, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock is not beat the rock. Speak to the rock is not hit the rock. Speak to the rock is not what God said do, but not what Moses did, because I think he was hitting that rock thinking it was some of them children of Israel because he was sick and tired of being sick and tired of they whining and complaining. So, but it cost, now he done did everything he was supposed to do. That one mistake is keeping him from making it into the promised land. And let's see what the word of God says in verse 15. It says, then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua. Come on now. Y'all know that's my favorite. I love me some Joshua. Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the young. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with them, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his on him and inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say to them, my offering, my food, my offerings made by fire, as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at the appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer to the Lord, two male lambs in the first year without blemish, day by day as a record of a burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer in the evening, and one-tenth of an ephah fine flour as a grain offering mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering, which was ordained at Mount Sinai, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be one-fourth of a hin for each lamb in a holy place. You shall pour out the drink of the hin as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering. You shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year, without blemish, and two-tenths of an ephah of fine flour, as a grain offering mixed with oil and its drink offering. This is the burnt offering of every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. At the beginning of your month, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 lamb, and 7 lambs in the first year, without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour, as a grain offering, mixed with oil for each bull, 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour, as a grain offering, mixed with oil for the 1 lamb, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour, mixed with oil, as a grain offering for each lamb, as a burnt offering of sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin for a lamb, and 1/4 of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the month of the year. Also, 1 kid of the goat as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered, besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. First day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work, and you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord. 2 young bulls, 1 lamb, 7 lambs in the first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull, and 2/10 for a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these besides the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days. As a sweet aroma to the Lord, it shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. And on the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Also, on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your feet a week, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their first year, with their grain offering of fine flour mixed with oil. 3/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for the 1 ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 kid of the goats to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with their drink offering, besides the regular burnt offering, with this grain offering. Psalm 34, verses 8 through 14. Life lessons will be after we finish our word this morning. And this is the title for our lesson this morning. It's coming out of Psalm 34, verses 8 through 14. And again, a great word from the Lord. And the word that God gave us is, blessed is the man who trusts in him. And it comes out of this word. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, is the title that God gave me. And it is this: oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him, meaning who trusts in the Lord. One more time: oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And our word this morning is, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Moses was a man who trusts in the Lord. Joshua was a man who trusts in the Lord. The daughters of Delphi had trust in the Lord to do what was right. We got to trust in the Lord that everything that we need is going to fall in place. All I can say is praise the Lord. God is answering some prayers. I thank God for his grace and his mercy, and I thank God that he's answering prayers for my children. I thank God that he is blessing my family. I thank God that he is guiding me in the direction I need to go in the ministries that he is calling me to do. I am grateful that God is in charge of my life. Hallelujah. And the word of God tells us, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can y'all remove, say that again? This is a whole highlightable. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Can I say it? Those that seek the Lord shall lack any good thing. We got to seek God first. You know, say, well, I don't lack anything. You got to seek the Lord first, because there's a caveat to not lack in good things. And that is, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. Woo! Bam! Hit you where it hurts, because we all know this little membrane can get you in all kind of trouble. You get offended. You let things fester in you. All this stuff happens because of this little membrane behind the teeth. He said, she said, causes all kind of confusion because of this little membrane behind the teeth. And God speaks on the tongue so many times in the Word. I'm going to have to look that up, how many times the word tongue is in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you this. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Woo! That's a highlightable. You need to highlight that one. That needs to be in your arsenal. When the enemy comes at you, don't let that mouth get you in trouble, because he's going to send somebody that's going to make you want to say, as they say, make you want to holler. You know, he's going to send that spirit to attack you, to make your mouth get you in trouble. So remember, when you start, get ready to say something that you know is evil, something that you know is not right, that expletive that you know you shouldn't say, before you open your mouth, keep this in your arsenal. Oh, nope, not today, Satan. I am keeping my tongue from speaking evil. And my lips are not going to speak any deceit. No lies is coming out of my mouth. So keep it moving, spirit of confusion. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, we need to give this scripture to Vladimir Putin. We need to give this scripture to all those folks ready to go. I'm ready to fight. No, you're not. You need to sit down and be still and know there's only one God and he's in charge of everything. And then as we go into our Proverbs 11 and 29, it says, he who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise of heart. And this morning, I was just happened to be on, like I said, I feed, but I have to get fed. And I was getting fed this morning, and one of the things, you know, that Pastor Wilson spoke on this morning says, the heart in the Bible is about your mind, your will, and your emotions. We understand it's not about the one that's in your chest that keeps all the blood flowing through your body, but it's your heart, your spiritual heart, that God unhardened your heart. It's unhardened your mind, unhardened your will, unhardened your emotions. We got to understand that our heart is our mind, our will, and our emotions when we speak up a heart in the word of God. And when we think about it, and food will be servant to the wise of heart, to the mind of those, to the will of those, and to the emotion of those who are wise. They have wise, they have wisdom. They have a willing heart, and they have emotions toward God. And I thought that is a very awesome word, you know, that the heart is not that muscle in your chest that keeps everything flowing. The mind that God has given you. It is the will that God has given you. And it is the emotion that God has given you. Mind. And as you think, and when you think about in the word, when it talks about transformation, we got to renew our mind. You know, transformation, we got to transform who we are for God. We need a transformation of our heart to know that whatever it is that God wants you to do, that's what you do. That's how you live. That's what you speak. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. That is a powerful, powerful word this morning. And it goes on to tell us, after 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes thought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? But it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Come on now. Criticized her for pouring the oil on his head, for anointing Jesus. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she should. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to better him, to betray him to them. Now he went to betray Jesus. And I don't know if it was because he couldn't get his hand on that bottle of costly oil so he could make some money on it. I don't know. It says, and when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he thought how he might conveniently betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is the guest room for which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. So his disciples went out and came into the city and found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he came with the 12. How now, as they sat and ate, Jesus said, surely I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? He answered and said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Wow. And, you know, someone preached on this word on Sunday. The woman in Bethany that anointed Jesus' head with the alabaster jar of costly oil. What a word. What a mighty and awesome word of God this morning. And all I can say is God's word is true all the time. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for this word of God. And, you know, as I look through the word of God, and I was looking to see, I have a book on women in the Bible, and I was looking to see if I could find the woman with the alabaster jar of oil for Christ. And so far, I am not seeing. I think this might be Old Testament women and not New Testament. And I think that's what this is. All of the older Old Testament women of the Bible. And the only woman of the New Testament, I believe, is, there it is. Now, this is saying in verse 2:7. I'm going to look up something really quick as we talk. And just thank God again for his awesome word this morning. And this is saying that it was Mary who was the one that had the oil. And this is just, again, this is a fictionalized. She put the oil on his, she got on her knees and put the oil on his feet. So it's saying that she's the one that did the anointing. And it's, this is what it says. The feeling was not unanimous, however. It was Judas Iscariot who became the voice of the envious. Let me go back to a little section in this book. And it says this. No one seemed to have missed her. Mary slipped into a space that had opened at Jesus' couch and knelt by his feet. Swiftly, she cracked the neck of the jar and poured its contents onto Jesus' feet. Then with one hand, losing the hair from the drip from her idea. So this is saying that it doesn't say that she put it on his head. But then it's not one that says hair, one that says feet. And many think that it is a different woman. I don't know. I've always thought it was Mary. So that did the head and the feet. So we're going to look it up. I'm going to do some more research, and I'll come back on this. So this is what it says in our life examples and lessons for the word this morning. And it was this in Numbers chapter 27. Joshua, the need for courage. And it says this, anytime you take a risk for God, you will need courage. Joshua certainly understood this requirement. The Lord challenged Joshua with the mission of getting a multitude of Israelites across the Jordan River, so they may claim the land of promise before sending the people across the river. The Lord exalted Joshua 3 times to have courage, telling him to remember the promises he had made to the forefathers, reminding him to obey the law of Moses, and promising Joshua He would be with him every step of the way. Wow. He would be with him every step of the way. Fear and discouragement are subject to your will. Through faith in God, you can rule over them, not them over you. Remind yourself daily of what you heard God say in his word. Stay close to him and refuse to allow yourself to give in to fear and discouragement. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12. Go up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. God would not allow Moses to enter the promised land because of his public, the waters of Meribah. But in his grace, he did allow him to view the land from a distance. Even in judgment, God is merciful. Numbers 27:18 says, Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. God authorized Moses to make Joshua a man in whom is the Spirit, the next leader of Israel. Spirit-filled leadership is the only kind of leadership worth following. The best leaders know to follow God's example and direction. Can the church say amen? I can only speak on the ministry that I'm a part of. You got to have a Spirit-led leader. And I will tell you one thing. My pastor has a Spirit-filled ministry. She will not do anything unless God tells her to do it. She will not like it. She will not move forward in ordination with anyone unless God says do it. And God gives her the date. God gives her the time. God gives her everything. And there are folks that will get upset. But I have seen God work every time. I've seen it. I've been a witness of her doing what God said to do when everybody was against her. And I can tell you this, the blessing of Abraham came in when she followed God. I watched, I listened, and I prayed. We got to be watchmen on the wall at all times. And I tell you, I've seen God work. And, you know, all churches closed during the year of 2020. So many churches never have come back from the closure of 2020. Churches went into bankruptcy because they were not getting tithes and offerings to keep the doors of the church open during COVID and closed churches. Our church did not close. My church did not. What can I say it again? My church did not close. It didn't close. When the governor said 10, 10 showed up. When the governor said 25, 25 showed up. When the governor said 5, 5 showed up. But the doors of the church never closed. And we have, all I can say is God has blessed our church. We did what Caesar said. Because God made it so. When Caesar said 5, 5 came. When Caesar said 10, 10 came. When Caesar said 25, 25 came. Because her comment was, as the Lord leads you. If the Lord didn't lead you to go, then didn't go. If the Lord led you to go, you got up and went. And it was as if God said, on my Sunday, I needed to be there. You need to go to church. I got up and I went. And when the Sunday, the God told me to stay home, stayed home. And sure enough, everything went the way it needed to go. I was not supposed to be there. We got to do what God says do. And when we follow what God says do, be spirit led, everything falls into place. We've got to trust God. We've got to understand that God is in charge of everything. Can I say it with me? God is in charge of everything. Not me, not you, but God. Hallelujah. Not me, not you, by God. Mark 14:10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. Judas went to the religious authorities with his offer to betray Jesus immediately after Jesus rebuked him for criticizing a woman who had honored the Lord with an expensive jar. Excuse me, with an expensive gift. And the word is telling me to go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 6. I'm sorry, John chapter 12, verse 6. So go to John chapter 12, verse 6. And let's go to the, it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus went to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. So they gave a supper for him there. Matthew, Martha was serving, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took and poured a very expensive perfume of pure nard, poured it on Jesus' feet, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was going to betray him, said, "Why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" Now he said this not because he cared about the poor, for he had never cared about them, but because he was a thief, and since he had the money box serving as treasurer for the 12 disciples, he used to pilfer what was put into it. So Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep the rest of it. It for the day of my burial. You also have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." A large crowd of Jews learned that he was there at Bethany, and they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to kill Lazarus also, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away from the teaching and traditions of the Jewish leaders and believing in Jesus, following him as Savior and Messiah. So that's talking about the alabaster jar. Or does it say alabaster jar? It says the jar of costly oil. And if we go into, it says in Mark 14:16, his disciples went into the city and found it just as he had said to them. Just as the disciples found the Passover preparation, just as Jesus had told them, so we will find life to be just as he tells us. We will always find our smoothest life path by carefully following Jesus' instruction. And I can say that is the truth. When you think, you got to learn how to discern the voice of God. You can't put yourself and say, "Lord, am I talking to you?" Because sometimes what you want, you think is what God said. We got to learn to do the voice of God. Because I can tell you now what I've learned is if it don't fit in God's plans for your life, if it is something that does not feel right, if it hurts you, it is not from God. If it harms you, it is not from God. If in the long run it causes problems for you, it may not be from God. Sometimes it may be God teaching you a lesson. But I tell you one thing. When you listen, you know, you start stop and think about some things. You're like, "I probably shouldn't have done that." You know, when something puts you in more debt, probably something you should not have done. If something knocks you off your square, it's something you should probably not have done. But one thing about the Father that we have, he will get us back on track every time. He will find a way to get us back on track because he's that kind of daddy. He's that kind of God. And we are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. And let's go into our word of prayer this morning. And then a word from Sister Carolyn. And then it is a wrap. It's the sweetest fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Prayer this morning as we get ready to leave this word today. Father of love, your kindness is astonishing. Your peace unending. Your joy is like a hidden brook with bubbling and dancing waters, flowing with life. Your goodness is found in your character. It is the very makeup of who you are. Your faithfulness is more reliable than the seasons changing. Your gentleness reveals your tender heart. Your own self-control reveals the beauty of the choices you've given us. There is no law against these things. I could spend my whole life getting to know you in these attributes, and I would still have only scratched the surface. There are no limits to the fruit that you give. Life, my life, be fragrant. Let my life be fragrant with this fruit. In a thriving orchard, may I eat of the bounty of its fruit, also freely give it away to those around me with a life filled with your Spirit. I cannot go wrong. And the question for today is this: fruit do you need more of in your life today? And again, the fruit is, the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What fruit do you need more of in your life today? And that is our word from our new addition to our daily word, and a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And her word for this morning is this: good morning. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday, family. If there is anyone that has a word from God that would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone and your lines will be open. Again, the number is 213-943-3597 for those that are listening in on social media. 213-943-3597. And we have a caller.
Yes, this is
Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning, Pastor. God said we must have peace all day today, she says. Peace be still.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
There's something going on even here in Springfield, in Illinois, in the world. But he said, peace be still today.
That is a word for someone today. That is a word
yes,
for us all today. Peace.
Lord,
be still.
Yeah.
And a word that God is being gave is blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And when our sister Christ is here, peace be still. Let's go back to our word this morning.
Yeah,
the number. I actually know it's actually our psalm. Our psalm word in Psalm chapter 34. Let's go to Psalm chapter 34. And I'm going to come out of, I just read Amplified. I'm coming out of Romans now. Because, you know, we got to get a word in, and sometimes the word is not traditional. Like King James, it may be from a Christian Standard Bible. And I am coming out of a Rainbow Bible, and it says, in our word today, and understand, my Rainbow Bible has different things, and it says, discipleship, outreach, God, salvation, love, commandments, family, faith, prophecy, evil, sin, history. And these are the different colors that are on our word. And when we go to our word for this morning in Psalm 34, verses 8 through 14, the first is salvation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. The second, verse 9, fear the Lord, you, his holy people. And then we go right back to salvation. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Again, salvation. And when we come to verse 11, we're looking at faith. And it says, if some of my children listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord whenever you who love life and desire to see many good days. Keep your tongue. Come on now. Keep your tongue from evil. Keep your tongue from evil. And it's outreach also. And your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good to peace and pursue it. And what did our sister just say? God said peace. We got to have peace today. Peace in our spirit, peace in our mind, peace in our heart. Peace be still. Let Jesus calm your waters today. Mm-hmm. And let God work it all out for you. We have another caller before we get out this morning. Thank you so much, Evangelist.
You're welcome.
Evangelist Shannon, good morning. Good morning. We missed you. How are you this morning?
I'm just truly blessed and highly favored by God. Thanking God for confirmation. I want to thank Evangelist Teresa for being obedient, because I have prayed this morning, got some things before my path. But I know that God is in charge, because he is the authority of all authority. No matter how the situation may seem, I know that God is working. And that's why I talked to God this morning. So that was his answer, confirmation, hallelujah, through his daughter of the Most High God, to peace be still and let God be God, because he is in charge. Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. God bless you.
God bless you both. Thank you. Thank you, ladies, for your outreach. Thank you for listening to the voice of God and speaking, because that word was for someone today. And all I can say is thank you, Father, for peace. Hey, peace in the midst. Thank you, Lord. So, ladies, thank you so much. We are done this morning. That is our word. I thank you all for lifting up, for reaching out, for pouring out all that you are. Thank you for your prayers. And I thank God again for a new day and another day of life. Thank you, God. I get excited because I'll be shot in a minute. So it's time for us to go. I thank God for each and every one of you. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent. One from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior, our Master Savior, Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours that God will give you the desire of your heart and what you need. Hallelujah. And before we get out again, one more time, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, because it's right on point. The morning things have a way of working out, Evangelist Shannon. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through.
Good.
Have a triumphant Tuesday, everybody. Right on point. And if you take that whole word that Sister Carolyn has given us this morning, it equals out to peace. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you both for tuning in. Thank you both for allowing the Lord to use you to help someone.
Yeah.
Be blessed, family. It is a wrap.
Amen.
Be blessed, ladies. Amen.